KTTK Dallas-Fort Worth. KTBK Sherman-Denison. KTDK Sanger. Frisco Rough Riders Baseball is on the ticket 1700 AM. Every pitch of every game all season long. Brought to you by Hooters and Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Good afternoon, everybody. You are listening to The Hardline here on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. We are out at OB's Salads, Soups, and Subs in Hearst today, which is on Melbourne between Bedford-Eulis Road and Pipeline Road. Now, we're trying to get guys out here who want to try to eat the 16-inch Gutbuster sandwich.
Have we had anybody shown up yet to do that, to sign up? One person.
We got one guy and that's it?
Okay, all right, that's ridiculous. We're here in Hearst. Some of the biggest eaters in the world are in Hearst.
Yeah, some of the fattest guys in the world live in Hearst.
Yeah, and we've had one, and you're going to get a free sandwich?
And if they don't live in Hearst, they live in Bedford and Euless, and that ain't that far away.
No.
So get over here to Hearst, and if you win, if you can finish, if you're the first one to finish the sandwich, which we're going to start in about 45 minutes or so, you get the Danny White autographed helmet.
And if you don't win,
mini helmet,
you get a free sandwich.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
I've had it with this. I'm not going to put up with it. We'll pull that offer off the table.
We sure will.
So you better get up here.
We sure will. We'll pull that offer off the table and give the helmet to the girl with the biggest jugs.
Yeah.
Never have a second thought about it.
Bother us one bit to do that.
That's right. Well, last night was a very, very big night for, we thought, more than it actually was. Because Little Feat, the great group of the 70s, rolled into the Granada last night. And it was a big night for me because I am a big Little Feat fan. I haven't seen them very much. This is only the second time I have seen them over the years. And their career goes back about 30 years or so, back into the 70s. So it was a big night for me. I'm a big fan, and I was really looking forward to going to the Granada and seeing them. It was also a big night for Dan Paul because his twist combo, Sorter, had been tabbed in their acoustic incarnation to open the show for Little Feat.
Question. Danny, why'd they make y'all play an acoustic version of your band?
Because that stage is so small, and when you put Little Feat on there with a full drum set, a full percussion kit, keyboards, and four people up front, there's no room for another drum kit.
Okay.
So we all you're all pushed right to the front of the stage. It's just a lot easier on the production company, the people that do the sound, and the band if they don't have to hassle with micing up a drum kit and moving stuff around.
Now, there was much angst on the part of Dan Paul over this gig. And as I guess you found out you were going to do it like pretty late last week, right?
Yes.
And as time for it drew near, I had the pleasure of visiting with Dan Paul, Big Red, and the other members of Sorter prior to the show. And Dan Paul actually told me he was nervous.
Yeah, you told me that on the phone last night. Why were you nervous?
Because that was a pro gig.
What do you mean?
Okay. That was it's one of the rare times that I've gotten to play a professional gig. Now, I'm used to showing up at the bar whenever you get there and throwing your crap on stage and just, you know, half the time you don't even have a mic on anything. You just set up and play. Well, this was something that was very scheduled. They had a professional sound crew, Creighton. You guys know Creighton, the guy that always does our outdoor events?
Right.
He was out there, and he was our monitor guy, and I believe he actually mixed us out front. So yeah, he was our sound man for the opening set. And there's no BSing around. I mean, you get up there and they take care of everything. I mean, they get you all set up. They go to each individual monitor and tweak it to your specs the way you want it. And you get off and you go back and you wait until they call you up. And there was
That's probably not the way it happens at the Barley House?
No. No. And when you're up there playing and doing your set, I mean, you've got to keep things going, you know? You have to act like you know what you're doing and act like you've been there before, and we just haven't had a lot of experience doing a real professional show like that. And there was probably, what would you say, 300 or 400 people there when we went out, Mike?
Yeah, I'd say so. And you feared failure, didn't you?
I was concerned.
All right, what was the crowd like?
Let me finish real quick. And number two, I'm not playing bass. I was playing guitar, and I'm not real confident.
You've never played guitar, have you?
Well, yeah, I've played guitar for a long time, but I don't consider myself very adept at it. I'm much more in my element playing bass, so it was a little bit different for me. So anyway.
Right, so crowd.
What about them?
Describe the scene. What I mean, if I had to pick, by the way, I'm sorry I wasn't there.
It's okay.
I feel bad. But
what happened to you?
Man, listen, bottom line is I made this commitment to go to Bible study for this allotted period of time. It's Tuesday nights. This show happened to fall on Tuesday night.
Okay,
I didn't get back until about 9:45, and I didn't deem it worthy to go down there for 30 minutes.
Okay.
So,
I just wondered.
I know. Listen, I was upset about it. I really wanted to go. I wanted
Believe
to see
me, it is to your credit that you're keeping with your Bible study commitment.
Well, thank you. Jesus, stop it. By the way, someone in my Bible study who just started listening because he found out that I worked there goes, is there some, do they have something on you saying Jesus something that they won't finish? No, don't worry about that, man.
It's computer generated and taken out of context.
By the way, you see on the Royals lineup last night?
Yes. The Jesus.
He was in there?
Yes, he was in there.
Jesus. All right, so I pictured the crowd last night being...
You want me to describe it for you?
Mike Reiner.
The official hair color was gray. The official breast style was flapjack.
Oh, my.
That's about right.
Were there more guys than girls?
Yeah, I think
far
so.
More.
Yeah.
Far more.
That's not a girl scene.
No, it's not. Not at all.
That's a very Allman Brothers-y type...
Right.
Band.
See, proving once again, girls don't get rock and roll.
No.
And let me tell you something. I couldn't have been happier with the demographic that was there last night. Because, number one, the people that were there were music fans, and they were there to listen to music. They were not there to be a part of a scene or go hear this buzz band that's got one hit song, and they're going to talk through the rest of the show. Those guys were there to pay attention. And
that's
I could not believe the response that we got.
Really?
Yes.
Well... Let me tell you, that response was well-deserved because you boys were tremendous last night. You were wonderful.
I thought...
That might be one of the best live sets of tunage I hear from anybody this year.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And I mean that.
That's amazing because I thought we were... Seriously, I could not have been happier with our performance.
And with good reason.
Everybody played so well.
Yes.
Look, appeared to be really professional. I mean, we just rattled off songs one after the other. No riff-raff in between. Trey handled the crowd real well. There was only one mistake that I thought we made is we played one of our songs about twice as fast, and it was really hard to keep up. We just started out that way, and I kept trying to get the bongo player to slow it down, and it was to no avail. But other than that, man, I thought it went off without a hitch.
It was wonderful.
And the crowd
really
was just going crazy.
Yes.
Were they really?
Yeah, they were clapping.
I mean, I was watching them out there, and, you know, playing acoustic, you're not going to get real loud or anything. And there were a few people talking, and those people who were talking were causing a little bit of a din, but as I looked around, there were far more listening and far more paying attention and far more digging it than talking.
You know what? It was probably going to go one way or the other. But you brought up a good point that it is a band like Little Feet, and they're there to listen to the music,
right,
not to hang out. But a lot of shows like that, you know, it'd be like, hey, get off the stage, you know, and you get a bunch of drunk idiots and older people that just, they don't have time to put up with what they consider
nonsense.
You're
much more likely to run into that with the younger crowd than you are the old.
That's true.
So they were so respectful. And that was the coolest crowd I've ever played in front of. I mean, Ward took a pedal steel solo, and I heard people clapping the solo and cheering his solo. When we got our last song, we played a Bob Dylan cover. We played I Shall Be Released, and it's got a pretty sing-along chorus. Everybody knows it. And that was a pretty good selection for that crowd because everybody knew it. And I swear a third of the people were singing along with it. That's what it sounded like on stage.
Yeah. Ward was really good last night, man.
Yeah, he was
really
awesome.
Good.
He played really well.
Everybody did.
But I was nervous, man. I was...
Well, you should be very, very happy today. That was a very nice stroke for you boys last night.
Well, let's talk...
It really was.
Well, thank you. That was really fun. Well, let's talk about Little Feet.
All right, let's talk about Little Feet. Now, the state the band is in today is basically the same as it was Back in the day, minus, of course, the great Lowell George, who left this earth sometime back down the road. And he has been replaced by a girl singer and a guy guitar player. But everybody else who was on stage last night was around back in the day. And since then, they've gotten a little bit on the jammy side. This was something you would have enjoyed, Cobra.
There's no question.
That's what I hear.
Yes.
This was widespread 30 years ago. Same scene.
Real good players?
You would have loved it.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful players. Wonderful players, especially the great Billy Payne, the keyboard player. Fantastic.
Was there a lot of goofy dancing going on?
Yeah, there was quite a bit. There's quite a bit of goofy dancing going on.
I actually observed somebody on this crew doing some goofy dancing.
Mike?
Mm-hmm.
Mike Reiner.
I was into it. I was.
What was he doing?
You know, that little kind of slumpy little groove that he gets going. I call it the gray hair swamp groove.
Was he pointing at the stage?
No,
and stuff?
He wasn't doing that.
No,
kinda,
I wasn't doing that.
He was kind of doing a little head bobbing and shoulder shrugging. And
every time you pointed, your beard kind of spill on the guy in front of you. You know?
I wasn't drinking beer, and I didn't do any pointing, I'll have you know. But, yeah, I mean, they're real jammy. I mean, to get through Dixie Chicken, their big hit, can I explain how that rolled out?
Just like you did earlier today.
All right. It began with a kind of slow blues thing.
Instrumental.
And, you know, you're wondering, okay, what are we in for here? Are we in for a lengthy blues jam or exactly what is this?
I mean, are we talking before Dixie Chicken? Are we talking 10-minute songs?
I don't know if they were 10 minutes, but they weren't three.
They were combining a lot of songs.
Yeah.
Right.
They'd never stop playing.
They never stopped playing.
I love that. I love that.
And the slow blues jam finally smeltly segued into the identifiable Dixie Chicken groove, and then you realized what they were leading up to with this. So finally, the signature riff comes on, the singing starts, the first verse is executed.
Time elapsed probably about 7 minutes before the first vocal is issued. Would you not, give or take?
Give or take.
Okay.
That is followed by a keyboard solo, during which just about everybody else leaves the stage. And here is the great Bill Payne up there playing all by himself. He finishes, everybody else returns, and then you have a bass, drums, and conga interlude, during which everybody who is not involved in that leaves the stage.
And bass popping and thumping and slapping.
And boy, I'd forgotten what a snake-like stage move Kenny Gradney has. God, this guy moves goofy on stage.
He's a funny dude, man.
And that is followed by everybody returning to the stage after that, and then they go into, I guess, what was another complete song that I did not recognize. That is followed by the second verse of Dixie Chicken, which is followed by yet another, I think, complete song that I didn't recognize. And that is followed by the third verse of Dixie Chicken.
Well, was this good? I mean, was this good or was it kind of annoying?
Yeah, it was good, but I don't know, I just kind of wish they would have stayed with the subject at hand a little bit.
Have you guys not been subjected to the song?
Yes, I've gone
into the song.
I've seen Widespread with you like 5 times now. Yes, I've been exposed to it.
And then coming back into the song.
Yes.
I mean, that's a big player with the Dead and Widespread and Fish and those type bands.
This was not a new trick for me either. I mean, I've been to a few of these rodeos myself, and I've seen just about everything that's out there, I'm thinking. But I guess the elapsed time for a Dixie Chicken was about a half an hour.
Yeah.
All told.
Wow.
Now, we were talking to them backstage.
I don't think you would have enjoyed this much, Grego.
I like that song. I really do, but, you know,
they tricked
start
it,
finish it, and then go to another song.
I'm with Grego. Now, we were talking to them backstage, and what's the bass player's name?
Kenny Gradney.
He was like, said we have like 4 versions of Dixie Chicken. And tonight, he said, tonight we're doing Marathon Chicken. We have Little Chicken, Medium Chicken, Big Chicken, and Marathon Chicken.
Oh, he did?
Yeah,
is that before the gig or after
the
gig?
I think this was during the keyboard solo when they all came backstage. And they'd come backstage and hang out, and then some identifiable musical interlude would occur on stage that would, you know, notify them that it was time to come back. When the drum bass solo was going on, the drummer did this one big crescendoing fill, and on cue, they all hit the stage. I mean, you got to think how many shows these people have done and how good
Thousands.
They are. I mean, they're just so
Thousands.
Tight and such good players.
Were they nice guys?
Absolutely. And that's another thing I wanted to say. As far as between the band, the promoters, the venue, the production people, it is one of the coolest experiences I've ever had being around something like that. Everybody was so nice and so accommodating. It was awesome.
Wouldn't it be great to do that every show?
And they get to do that every day and make a good living at it. So that's, yeah, it was a pretty neat experience.
Were they drinking?
I think they had Guinness on their bus.
They did?
Uh-huh.
Did they have a big bus?
Oh, yeah, they had a tour bus and the semi.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had a big-ass bus.
Are they rich?
I don't think so.
I think they'd make a pretty damn good living on the road.
Yeah, I think they make a pretty decent living, but I don't know if I would call them rich, especially this crew on hand here, because Lowell George wrote all the songs.
No, they're making their money on the road, and I guarantee you that band, per member, they've got to be making six figures each per year touring.
That ain't bad.
No, it's not bad at all.
If you stay on the road long enough, I mean, you earn that six figures.
Right.
And what did Kenny Gradney say before the show?
He said, if you'd have told me I'd be doing this S at 54, I would have done a lot more drugs and saved a lot more money.
Wow.
Yeah. He came off stage, and it was after their last song, and he goes, man, we've got them fooled. They were great people, every one of them.
Did you like their band?
I don't like their music particularly, but I think they're all amazing players, yeah. There's just no real, it's more of a groove, rhythm thing, and there's not a lot of hooks.
No, there really are. You need to get Waiting for Columbus and listen
that's
to
what,
it.
That's what Ward kept telling me. Ward's a huge fan of theirs.
Is he freaking out back there, talking to all them and stuff?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He thought it was great.
Well, yeah, Ward was the only one in Sorter that really had much idea of what was going on and where he was at.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Trey, he's not into him, is he? Either of the Treys, right?
Drummer Trey is a lot more familiar with him than me or singer Trey. But, yeah, Ward's a huge fan. He's got all their stuff.
Well, you need to get Waiting for Columbus. You'd like that.
But that had a great time. That was so fun last night.
Well,
thanks to the Granada for letting us do that.
Well, you boys did very well. You did yourselves proud last night. I was proud of you, too. All right, coming up next, a look at the Little Mavericks as they get ready for Game 5, the big one, tomorrow night here on The Ticket.